Amen. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you here for the morning service. I brought up the wrong book. I have the Psalms in this book, but I don't have any of the music, so let's turn to hymn number 681, and we'll begin our service together by singing In His Time. Prayer. Father, we praise you for who you are. We praise you that you are with us day by day. We praise you that you love us and care for us. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save us from our sins, that through faith in him alone we are saved, have that gift of eternal life, and have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us to guide us through each day, to fill us with power and give us courage and boldness to live for you. Father, in these difficult days, we praise you for the truths of the things we've just been singing. We thank you that you're here with us today, as you have promised to be. And we pray that your Spirit will accomplish his purpose in all that is done this morning. Father, bless the worship as we sing. Bless the sermon as it's brought. Fill the pastor with your Spirit. Speak through him. Bless the baptism as that follows. We pray that all of these things will honor and glorify your name, fill us with joy, and draw us closer to your throne. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
John chapter 17, the wonderful prayer of Jesus, high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Excuse me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, that you love us, that you are with us, that you have given us to the Lord Jesus, and that we belong to him. And we praise you for that. We thank you that we have eternal life through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. Oh, how we praise you that you were willing to go to the cross and die for us. It's hard to understand, our Father, your great love, your mercy. But we praise you for it. And I do pray that we might be one in heart, in mind, and all that we seek to do would be to bring honor and glory to your holy name. Lord, we ask you today to bless each one who is here, those who are listening to the sound of my voice and hear the scripture. We pray that it will be a great blessing to each one. And we do pray that you will meet the needs of every heart. We think of the baptism coming up after the service, and we're rejoicing that Damien has submitted himself to obey you, to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And we pray your richest blessings upon him and upon him in his Christian life. We do pray, our Father, that you'll guide us in every step that we take. And we pray for Roy Todd, our Father, this dear friend of ours, who was coming to church as long as he could. We pray for him now that you will just bless him and strengthen him. Thank you for his faithfulness to you. And I do want to pray for Ethan this morning. Father, you know his need. He needs to gain strength. He needs to be restored to health. And we pray that you will just undertake for him. And I'm sure there are many others that we could think of that have special needs. We pray that you will undertake for each and every one. And we pray for our loved ones who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they might come to know him as well. Help us to be faithful in witnessing, sharing the gospel as best we can with each one. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your goodness to us today. Guide and help us in everything that we do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Turn to John chapter 17 once again. Someone has said that this chapter is the holy of holies of John's gospel. and the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we what a wonderful expression of his heart. He prays here in this, it's very easy, the outline, if you want it. He starts off, he prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for the future church. The power of we who are living here today, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. And, he taught us the Lord's Prayer. We call that the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, right? Because he taught us we can take this for our own needs. But here we see the heart of the Lord Jesus crying out to God and praising him for all that he's done for us. You know, it's interesting. We believe, of course, that Jesus is God. We know that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and whatever other name we want to give to him. But he prays here to his Heavenly Father. He came to please the Father in all things, didn't he? And that's what he did. Throughout his life, he never sinned. He never did anything that was wrong. And here we find Jesus in this prayer does not confess any sin because he never committed a sin, right? He was sinless. He was perfect in all of his ways. And he's thanking God for all that he has done for him. Let's look again at the first few verses. Notice, first of all, it's something unusual for us, perhaps. It said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, right? Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. We usually bow our heads and close our eyes, right, when we pray? And I think rightfully so. But Jesus had nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to, no kind of sin at all, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed to the Heavenly Father as an equal, one who was holy and righteous in all of his ways. He doesn't confess any sin. And now, as he has taught the disciples to do. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us our debts or our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive one another, right? But here, he did not have to say that because he never sinned. And notice what he says. He says, Father, the hour is come. Now, throughout the ministry of Jesus, he was constantly saying, mine hour has not yet come. Over and over again. You know, when they said, you know, are you going to proclaim yourself to be the Christ or whatever? He said, no, my hour has not yet come. And here he says, Father, the hour is come. Jesus is coming to the place where for which he was born. He was born to go to the cross and die in our stead. And that's what he's speaking about here. The hour is come. It's drawing very near. And his death on the cross and the resurrection that came after that. Here he's anticipating all of these things as if he is finished, right? The cross was the last thing he did before coming back on the third day, the resurrection, and then teaching the disciples. But here he says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. See, Jesus had always done the Father's will. It's not a selfish request. In the sense he asked for glory, you know, if we would do this, you know, it would be kind of a selfish thing, wouldn't it? But Jesus, no, he says, I glorify me as I have glorified you. It's God who deserves all of the praise and adoration, and Jesus has done that. He's glorified the Father. He's has done His will throughout His life. And now He comes and He says, glorify Thy Son with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. You know? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, think Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We always celebrate that at Christmas, and we think, isn't that wonderful? But long before that, the Son of God, the Word, dwelt with the Father in eternity, didn't He? And He came down to this earth in order to save us from our sins. We were lost and undone without any hope of our own. And Jesus came. I like that song that says, you know, one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. He could not see. Then Jesus came. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Can you think of that? When did Jesus come for you? I know I've said it many times. I was 15 years old when Jesus came for me. And it wasn't because I was wanting to go to Him, but he opened up His heart, right? And here, anyway, we see He's talking about glorify. And that throughout the whole prayer, it's constantly to the glory of God. He says, glorify Me. And then about giving. He talks about giving. He's over and over again. He says the Father gave these disciples to Jesus. You see? They were His, and He gave them to Christ. And He has given us to the Lord Jesus because He purchased us on the cross. And we are His people. And He's honoring and praising God for all these things. Notice what He says here. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life. I lost my place. To as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal. What's life eternal? That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. You see? That's eternal life, to know Christ, to know that He has come to save us from our sins and to reunite us once again with God Himself, the Heavenly Father. And so we have life eternal. Eternal life is a gift from Jesus to the believers. You know, when Jesus went away, He says, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come again, right? And we're looking forward to that day when Jesus does come again to take us home to be with Him. He says in verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. He said that on the cross, didn't He? It is finished. It is finished. There's nothing else remaining to be done. Our salvation is wrapped up in what Jesus did for us, in forgiving us of all of our sins and making us His children. And He's already anticipating that that's happening. He says it's already accomplished. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now He says, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self. Make Yourself known to Me. Well, that's a good prayer, I think, for us as well. We need to know. We need to know God in all of His fullness. With Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. And He goes on speaking of that. This eternal life that He's giving to us. He says, glorify Thou Me with the glory I had with Thee. I wanted to read from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning verse 5. A familiar passage to many of us, but it's so important. He's speaking to us now here. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's how God the Father is glorified, when we proclaim Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And Jesus here is saying, this is the way I receive my glory. So this is, he's praying for himself, but not in a selfish way, but that God might be glorified. The second point we have here is talking about the disciples that he had been working with for the last 3.5 years, these that were close to him. He prays for them. In verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So here he's talking about these disciples that have been with him during all of this time. And he's praying here a prayer for sanctification, that they might be set apart from all that is wrong, all that is evil, and kept in the power of God, and to be set apart from all of the ungodliness. Certainly that's what we want today as well. But here he's praying for this, and he says, he prays for those that the Father has given to him. Now that's an expression maybe we don't usually think of as much as that, right? But he's all through this entire prayer, that's what he keeps saying. That the Father gave these disciples to me. And Jesus used them for his glory and for the glory of the Heavenly Father. 7 times in this passage, Jesus says that the Father had given him these believers. You can read through there, underline it, find that what he's saying here about what he's doing for them. Look back in John chapter 6, in verse 37. John chapter 6. It says, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So here Jesus is praying for these disciples and for all of the believers to follow, to bring glory and honor to the Father. Notice the gifts that Christ has given to believers. He mentions that in this prayer. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the Father's name. He says, you know, what is the Father's name? Anybody know? I just read something recently. You know, they've got 2 different pronunciations for it. We used to call it Jehovah, and now they call him Yahweh, right? And he said, it was a devotional book. That's what it was. I was reading this, and it said that it's like you say Yahweh, Yahweh. You know, and it's like when you're breathing in and out, you're saying the name of the Father, God Himself. And yes, we need to have Him ever in our minds and hearts. Think of Him continually, right? God, our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. So, He gives us eternal life. He gives us Father's name. He gives us the Father's words. Here in verse 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Have you received the word this morning? I know you hear it, but are you receiving it into your heart? That's what we need, is to have our hearts changed by the power of God. He has given us His joy. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know? How much joy do we have today? Huh? When you look around, you see all the things that's going wrong. Does that fill your heart with joy? Well, we have to look up and say, hey, our redemption is drawing nigh, right? And so we can rejoice in that, knowing that Christ is coming again, that we have all these wonderful things, His joy and His glory. Verse 22 says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, right? That they may be one, even as we are one. There you go. We need to be united, don't we, as believers in Christ. It doesn't mean, you know, that all the different churches have to join up together. I think that would be an absolute disaster, wouldn't it? There's so many different viewpoints and doctrines and all this. But those who truly know the Lord Jesus should love each other, wouldn't we? We're supposed to love each other in spite of all the, oh well, I won't go into that. But anyway, we need his glory. We need to have that wonderful joy of knowing Him and following Him. Jesus intercedes for His disciples that they might be kept, first of all, from the world. Verse 11. He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is praying for our protection. You know, we do that quite often. We think of those who are being persecuted for Christ's sake, and we pray for them, and rightly so. We should pray for them. And here Jesus Himself is praying that they might be kept or protected, guarded against the world and all that it has in it. You know, it seems like everything these days is contrary to what God tells us in His Word, right? I mean, anything that you see on the television or here on the radio or wherever you go, it's all something, you know, against what God says. And we need to be kept from that. It's easy to get your mind warped, you know. We have to be careful what we think. And so He says He's praying for them for that. And also He says in verse 15 especially, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And some people say the evil one, especially Satan, who is behind all evil. We need to be guarded against him. And Jesus is praying to Father, keep them from this evil being, this one who would destroy us, and from all the evils around us. Help us to walk in righteousness and truth in all that we do. He says that they might be sanctified. He uses that word here in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay. So we are sanctified through the word of God, right? Jesus says that these disciples were set apart by the word of truth. That I was trying to remember how that goes exactly. But anyway, he says, thy word is what cleanses us, right? The word of God. As we read it and study it and as we obey it, then we can walk in fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Sanctify, set apart them that through thy truth. Don't allow them to go out into sin, but keep them secure. You know, Jesus Christ is the gift to us, to the world. He came to save us from our sins. We all know John 3:16, I believe. Do we? Do you know John 3:16? How about let's say John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a wonderful truth that we all need so much, and God wants us to have that security, that safety, to know that we are saved by the blood of Jesus and through nothing else. You know, we're going to have a baptism after church today, but that baptism doesn't add to your salvation because you're already saved by the blood of Jesus. Right?
Amen.
And it's on a step of obedience that we take to show that we love the Lord and we want to follow him and do what he says. Right? That's what it's all about. A public testimony to others that they might know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that I am one of his. That's what it's all about. Okay, the last part here, we find Jesus praying for all believers. We would say for the church today, beginning at verse 20, we have here, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see? He's already praying for those that the disciples are going to go out and win to Christ and then on down through all the rest of time. He's praying for us. It's wonderful to think that Jesus prayed for us back then. And according to the book of Hebrews, he's still praying for us, right? He's interceding in our behalf at the Father's right hand and praying that we might be faithful and continue on. This is the glorification. He's praying here that we might follow him and do his will and walk in the way that he'd have us to go. That they all may be one. I mentioned that already in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It sounds to me like that if we are one in Christ, and preaching the same message, teaching the same thing, it will cause others to come to Christ. Is that what he's saying? I think it is. And here we find that he's saying that we all might be one, and that we might have that oneness of heart and mind and a desire to please God in all that we do, that we might be with him. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where is Jesus, you know? Where do you think Jesus is? I think we would say heaven, wouldn't we? He went up. And he says that he's praying the Father that those who follow him might be with him. He wants us to be in his presence. And we can be in his presence if we'll put our faith and trust in him. And that's what he's saying here, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We've been studying there in Revelation for quite some time. Brother Steve has been teaching us there. And in the last part of Revelation, it talks about all the glory of heaven. Amen. Right? And we are going to be there.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Jesus has already prayed for it. It's going to... God answers the prayer of Jesus. You know it.
Amen.
Right? And so we're going to go and be there with him, that they may be with him. I will express this clearly, that it is the will of Christ that all believers be with him in glory. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you put your faith and trust in him, then you are going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Huh? There it is. We're going to be there. So in summarizing this wonderful prayer, we see that Jesus prayed for himself and speaks of the salvation that he provided for us, right? He then prays for his disciples and for their sanctification, that they might be ready to go and proclaim the message throughout the world, right? To have their hearts and minds set apart from sin and evil and seeking to serve him. And then he prays for the church and for the glorification of all believers, so we can rejoice in this wonderful prayer that Jesus has given to us. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts. We just pray that we might walk in fellowship with you, and that we might love one another, that we might serve you in the way that we should, and carry the message to others. Help us, our Father. Help us to proclaim your word and to glorify you through all that we do and say. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen.